Amen. Well, we're going to continue on with our series, Joy That Lasts. We're going to be looking at part three of that from Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up there. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Let's just pause and ask the Lord to help us, and then we're going to jump right into this. Jesus, we love you. We thank you that we can have fun in church, Lord. We thank you that joy of the Holy Spirit is such an awesome gift that you've given us. Help us to receive from your word today, God. To be changed by you and challenged by you, not on a surface level, but deep within, at the core of our being. May we be shaken up today. I pray that we would love you and live for you with fear and reverence, working out our salvation with fear and trembling. To the Lord our God who is so good. We love you. We revere you. We worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen. There's two keys that we need to understand this passage before we get into it. We're only looking at four verses today. Key number one, it says, we are citizens of heaven. The first verse that we're looking at, verse 27, begins with, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven. So we have to pull back and say, citizens of heaven, well, aren't we citizens of earth? Aren't we citizens of the United States? We are, right? Well, we're also citizens of heaven. Ephesians 2, 4 through 6 says this. Listen to this verse in Ephesians. But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace you have been saved. And pay attention to verse 6 here. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Verse 6 again. He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms. The passage says that right now we're seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. Does that kind of strike you odd a little bit? It's like, no, I'm sitting on this seat right here. Cool thing, let me open this verse up for you. The cool thing is God is not limited by time, is He? God is eternal. God is at past, present, and future simultaneously. We're like, we exist on a timeline, and right now the timeline is March 22nd, 2009 at 11:09 a.m. This is the spot we're at, and in a minute we're going to move on the timeline. God is not part of the timeline. He's back from the timeline, and He looks at all creation at the same time. So when He sees this verse, God says from His perspective, we're right now seated with Him in heaven. Isn't that cool? Because God's not stuck in 2009. God steps back from the timeline and He sees everything at once. Our seat is reserved in heaven, somewhere at the banquet table of the supper of God. There's a chair and there's a name tag and my seat's reserved. Isn't that cool? That my silverware is out. It's waiting for me at the banquet. Our banquet will be good Saturday, but it'll even be better than that. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we'll be there with all of our family and friends and everybody who we love will be there. What a glorious day. We're citizens of heaven. Well, what does heaven look like? The Bible says heaven, it's being with the Lord forever and ever. But here's a few other things. It's an exemption from all sufferings forever. We'll never suffer again in heaven, right? Praise the Lord. It's a deliverance from all evils in heaven. There will be no evil in heaven at all. It's deliverance from the society of the wicked. Wicked people will not be in heaven. Praise the Lord. There will not be murder. There will not be nasty stuff that makes your stomach turn as you turn on the news, right? As you flip and you'll see on TV commercials for shows that you think, why on earth would they even put that on TV? That stuff will not be in heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. Only good things as we're with the Lord forever and ever, completely with Christ. Revelation 21:4. You can write this verse down if you want. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. Revelation 21:4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain, all these things are gone forever. Praise the Lord. No crying in heaven. No sorrow in heaven. No death in heaven. No pain in heaven. Is anybody here that you live with a good amount of pain? That you have aches and stuff that you've had? Yeah, I see several. Not that he's a pain. That your body has pain. Yeah, I live with pain. His name is so-and-so. Not that. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Good news is in heaven there'll be no more pain. Isn't that good? You can jump, you can run, you can do anything you want to do. You can play, as I always preach, tackle football in heaven, and you're going to be fine. You're up for tackle, right, Mike, in heaven? If you're promised you cannot get hurt, are you kidding me? We're playing tackle. John Doretta still refuses to play tackle football in heaven. So we'll play. It'll be fun. No more crying, no more pain, and I'm looking forward. The older I get, and the more, as I know loved ones who have passed on, the more you look forward to being reunited with your loved ones. The more you look forward to saying, I want to give so-and-so a hug when I get to heaven. The Bible says we're citizens of heaven. We're citizens of heaven, not just on earth. That when we received Christ as Savior, our names were on the registry as full citizens. We got our heaven green card, right? If you will, we're citizens of heaven. Our name is at the banquet hall. Our seat is there waiting for us. One day we will fill it. We need to realize that as we move into the passage today. The second key is this. We are real soldiers fighting in a real battle. Real soldiers fighting in a real battle. Ephesians 6:12 and 13 says, we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. We are in a real battle. The devil is real. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy our church. As our church is growing here, we're growing in numbers. I think we're growing in the Lord as well. The devil's getting mad. The Lord is at work in our church. That people that we've prayed for has gotten healed. Praise the Lord. Not because of us or our prayers, because of God. But praise the Lord. The devil's mad about that. He doesn't want anybody to get healed. He doesn't want you to go to church or grow in the Lord. He doesn't want your marriage to succeed. He wants you to hate your spouse. He wants you to get so mad that you haul off and punch your children. That's what he wants. He wants to destroy you. This is a real battle. We're not fighting, the Bible said in Ephesians 6:12, against human beings. It's not even just a war against like the United States and Germany in World War II. This is a war against Jesus and the devil. Truth is, we know Jesus has already won, but the devil just doesn't know it yet. But one day he will. The devil doesn't know he's already whooped. Or maybe he does and he's getting away with as much as he can before the Lord returns. Nonetheless, it's a real battle. We need to know that as we move into the passage today. 1 Peter 5:8, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Do you see the war theme there? He's out to get you. Jesus said, John 10:10, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Paul says to Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:18, fight well in the Lord's battles. Fight well in the Lord's battles. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight for the true faith. It is a fight. It is a battle. And we need to know that. We need to know that. Do we need to be intimidated? No. Thank the Lord we're on His side. Thank the Lord we have the victory. But if we go through life and we think that everybody should love us, we're foolish. If we go through life and we think that everything we do should be blessed because we love the Lord, well, that's not really true. And then we'll get mad at God. The problem is, it's not God. It's not that He's not faithful, but there's a real enemy that wants to destroy you. If anything, that tells me I need to cling to God more. That tells me that my faith isn't something I do once a week because the devil wants to destroy me tomorrow morning. My faith is something that has to be 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. The Bible says, pray without ceasing, meaning we just go through life, I love you, Jesus. And He says, I love you too. Lord, I need you to give me the strength to do everything. Even in the middle of getting in an argument with somebody, we say, Lord, help me now to stop and to be Christ-like in this situation because I'm mad. Help me to act like you would, right? In the middle of everything that we would do, that we would pray without ceasing. Why? Because it's a real battle. It's a real battle. Three stages of spiritual growth. New Christians go through these stages, or we should go through all of them. The first one is you become a son or daughter in the family, in the fellowship of the gospel. You get saved, right? That's stage one. We should all get saved. Stage two is you become servants for the furtherance of the gospel, that we serve. You don't serve to get saved. You're saved, and because we're saved, we serve, right? Do you see that? Then we just do whatever. As we're doing as a church, we come, we'll work for the Easter egg hunt. Is it about the bunny? No, it's not about the bunny. It's about Jesus, isn't it? It's about Jesus. We say, Lord, I'll do whatever it is you want me to do to help share the gospel. We serve for the Lord. The third thing, they become soldiers, which is the faith of the gospel. They become soldiers for Christ. Now, we're all at different places, perhaps, on this list. For some today, perhaps you don't know Christ and you're not a Christian yet. Then number one is the place where you need to start. You need to become a child of God. For those of us who have been Christians for a while, then we need to progress to number two. And perhaps for you today, it's time to begin serving the Lord. It's time to begin doing something for the Lord. Not because you have to, but because we get to. And you know what? It's fun. Serving the Lord, doing what He wants us to do. The third thing is we become a soldier for Christ. And that's really what we're going to talk about today. We become a soldier for Christ. We're deeper for the Lord. That we begin to serve Him in ways that perhaps people who are moving into step one and to step two just aren't spiritually mature enough. But there'll come a point where we grow in Christ and we begin to serve Him as a soldier. Serve Him as a soldier, where we're willing to take the bullet for Jesus. We're going to watch a quick video clip before we move on, and I think it's going to help set us up for the next 4 points here today. This is from a video game, actually. It's a movie from Call of Duty 3, and it's set in World War II. It's the United States against the Germans, and in this game, you play as a U.S. Military soldier. So let's check this out, and then we're going to move on with the message.
Sergeant likes to nail everything shut. All right, everyone on the truck, let's go. We'll be providing ground support for Task Force C. We're coming in from the west flank. Guys, remember rule number one.
Oh, man, I love that smell. Smells like home. The Germans are this far out? I thought we had this area.
It's been like this for weeks.
Hey, wait up!
Thank you.
Could you get the intensity in that game? When I first saw that, that kind of shook me up. World War II was real. If anything, that tells me we need to make sure we honor our veterans. Because as you're playing through that, you think, wow, went through some atrocious stuff. Some of the things that stood out, again, as I saw that initially, I was shocked. I wasn't expecting the truck that you're in to blow up. You're wounded. And then what happened next? The guys picked you up, saved your life, risked their own life to save you and drag you to safety. I'm not promoting the game with that clip. I'm not promoting war. I'm not saying war is a good thing. But what I'm saying is that draws a good analogy to the fight we're in. The Bible uses the warfare terms in this passage on purpose. To fight as a soldier for Christ. Paul wasn't just making something up. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit to use those terms. To wake us up as we need to be for Christ as a church. This passage is not in context of an individual today. This passage is in context of the church and the fact that we're at war together. Today we're going to look at the four marks of the soldiers of heaven. The four marks of the soldiers of heaven. We are soldiers who are fighting under the banner of heaven. A thing different than wars today, but like in World War II, you could distinguish which side you were on, couldn't you? The U.S. military had different uniforms than in this scene, the German military. They were different sides. They fought under a different flag. I want you to know that you are a soldier of heaven. The flag you fight under isn't the flag of the United States, how great that is. The flag you fight under is the flag of heaven. It's the sign of the cross. And in that, as a soldier of the cross, there are four marks that I think distinguish us from other soldiers who are fighting for another team, if you will. Have your Bibles open. Let's look at verse 27 again. We're going to read these four verses and we're going to find some application for our lives here. Philippians 1, verse 27. It says, "Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in the manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith which is the good news. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved even by God Himself. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for Him. We are in this struggle. You have seen my struggle in the past, and you know that I am still in the midst of it." The first mark of a soldier of heaven is integrity. Integrity. He says, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Here's the deal. As soldiers in the Lord's military, we hold ourselves to a higher standard, don't we? That the way we live our lives is different from the way of people who are playing on the devil's team, if you will. The way we live our lives is different than the way they live their lives. We hold ourselves to a higher standard. We have a mark of integrity. He says, above all, live as citizens of heaven. The way you conduct yourself is important. Not only do we hold ourselves to a higher standard, but I think this is true as well. We hold each other to a higher standard. We should hold each other to a higher standard. If you're serving at our church and you've been here a while, I don't expect you to come to church and lie to me. Because I expect you to be at a higher level, right? And you don't expect me to lie to you, right? If somebody just shows up from the outside, they're not really held at that higher level. But when we're here and we're serving in the army of God together, we hold each other to a higher level. I expect you to have my back, and I want you to expect me to have your back. that, God forbid, if, like in the opening scene, somebody's shot and wounded, somebody else will come and grab you and help you and carry you to safety. Amen? That if you're shot, I want to reach down and be willing to risk my life to carry you to safety. And you should hold me to a higher standard, and I should hold you to a higher standard as well. So we hold ourselves, we hold each other, but guess what? Who else holds us to a higher standard? The Lord. Our commander-in-chief of our military isn't just the President of the United States. He's the creator and maker of the universe. He's our commander. He's the one that gives us orders. When we decide we need to reach out to do something as a church, we're not trying to just make up an event. We're trying to hear in prayer from the commander-in-chief who said, here's your orders, here's your plans, this is how we're going to overtake the enemy in this area. It's more than just, we're just going to have an Easter egg hunt. It's our commander-in-chief who says, we need to reach into the hearts of these people that don't know Christ, that don't know me. Here is the tool you can use to accomplish your goal. If all we do is have an Easter egg hunt, we failed God. Because the goal isn't the egg hunt. The goal is sharing Christ, right? That's the mission. That's the mission, to share Christ. The first mark we saw today is integrity. Integrity. We hold each other, we hold ourselves, and God holds us to a high standard. He said, above all, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy. Look at verse 27, the second part of that. Then whether I come and see you again, or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing side by side, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. Number two, unity. Unity. A mark of the soldiers of heaven is that they're unified, right? When you see any military mission, think of the troops storming the beach of Normandy on D-Day. A year ago, at the Veterans Day dinner, not this past November, the year before, we had a gentleman who actually did that. He was there and stormed the beach of Normandy on D-Day and was sitting at our dinner. He was 95 years old. What an honor it was to sit next to the man and hear his stories. But when that happens, is it just chaos? Is it just do whatever you want, guys? Let's just fight and start shooting. No, there's a plan, right? You go out side by side, even if it looks like chaos, the general knows what's happening. He has it mapped out, right? You fight. Paul uses that same terminology, standing side by side, fighting in the battle. Unity. As a church, we need to be unified. As soldiers of Christ, we need to be unified. We're not in it as an individual. We are in it for Christ. All for one and one for all. Right? All for one, one for all. When we're unified, when we're fighting together, we have each other's back. As we said before, no one is left behind. That if the enemy attacks you, we're there to pray for you. We're there to encourage you, right? We're there to encourage each other. Has anybody ever felt like you were under attack of the enemy? I see a show of hands. That's why you need the church to come alongside of you and to help you and to pick you up when you're knocked down and carry you to safety behind the wall. Amen. We need each other because this is a real battle, right? This is a real battle and we need each other. Your TV set cannot carry you to safety for people that just want to hear TV preachers, right? You can't hug your TV. And it's not going to help you, and it's not going to carry you into safety. It can't. It can't call you and say, I heard you were hurting. Let me pray. But as soldiers, we can. In this military, we can, because we're unified. We're called to live with integrity as citizens of heaven. We're called to be unified. Satan is the great destroyer. He wants to destroy you. He wants to separate you. Don't let him. Don't let him. Come to Christ. He's the unifier. Even when lions attack sheep, what they do is they try to separate the sheep from the herd. when there's a million sheep together, the lion isn't too keen on that. He wants to separate them. He gets the stragglers left behind. When you're feeling attacked, don't separate from the church. When you're feeling down, don't separate from the church. When you're feeling depressed, don't separate from the church. That's not the time to separate. You're more vulnerable. You're more ready to be attacked. Isn't that the first lie the devil tells us? Don't go to church today. And then you're by yourself. Don't listen to that lie. Come and be united with your brothers and sisters in the faith. For those who are willing to take a bullet for you, come, huddle up, and we march forward as a team. Amen? Amen? Amen. Moving on, there's two more things we're going to look at in this passage. Two more marks. Verse 28 gives us the third one. That is courage. Courage. It says, don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved, even by God Himself. Do not be intimidated by your enemies. We have a real enemy, but you know what? We don't have to be intimidated by the enemy today. Do you hear me? It's not that he's weak. It's not that he can't do anything. It's because of Christ being so strong. It's because the power of the blood of Christ that has conquered sin, hell, and the grave. We don't have to be intimidated by our enemies. We don't have to have a fearful heart. In fact, what I would say, a mark of a good soldier of heaven, is that we will not allow ourselves to have a fearful heart. At the moment when fear comes in, we cry out to God and we say, we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind, according to the Scriptures. We cry out to God and say, God, take away this fear. The only thing I need to fear is You. I don't need to fear anything else. We will not flinch in the face of fear. Instead, we cling to the cross. And we cling to our Savior. Amen? Amen. We don't need to flinch in fear. Some of us as believers, we can be overcome by fear. The devil wants to keep you homebound if he can. I knew of a lady who was so afraid that she would catch a disease or something, she didn't even leave her home. Not even to go to church. Because fear spread like cancer within her heart, and it kept her from being able to do anything. That's not God's plan. The enemy's real. The enemy's strong, but God is stronger. We don't mess with the enemy on our own, but through Christ, we have the victory. We plead the blood of Jesus in our lives. We don't need to flinch in the face of evil. And Paul tells us, don't be intimidated. Don't be intimidated. Don't fear anything. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. Our unflinching eye will prove to the fact that we will be victorious. Our unflinching eye in the face of our enemy will show them who's stronger. Amen. It will. Here's a few passages on fear if you want to write these down. Isaiah 43, 1 through the first part of verse 3. Isaiah 43, 1 to 3. It says this, "But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you, O Israel, the one who formed you, who says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you." Why? "For I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." That passage says when you go through deep waters, you're not going to drown. I will be there. I will protect you. When you feel like the rivers of difficulty are just going to wipe you out completely and destroy your life and destroy your marriage, when perhaps the rivers of financial insecurity feel like they're going to come and destroy you, the Lord says, I will be with you. Do not fear that stuff. When the fires of oppression come, you will not be burned. Why? Because the Lord is the Redeemer, isn't He? Because we're fighting on His side, our Commander-in-Chief will not leave us. Amen. We don't need to have any fear. We have the assurance of heaven, don't we? As citizens of heaven, the first key we looked at today, we don't need to have any fear. What can anybody do but get you to heaven faster? What can anybody do but have you see your loved ones faster? Nothing. The passage in Isaiah 8, 11 through 14 personally meant a lot to me in my life. Isaiah 8, 11 through 14. It says, "The Lord has given me a strong warning to not think like everybody else does." To not think like everybody else does. See, sometimes that's our problem. Even as believers, we turn on the news and we think like everybody else. That when Chicken Little comes over with a piece of the sky is falling, the sky is falling, we say, "Oh my, the sky is falling," and we run around in a circle as well, instead of saying, "Wait a minute, wait a second, I know the one who holds up the sky. We're going to be okay." Right? The economy's collapsing. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Oh no, you know what? It'll be okay. It'll be okay. Because I know the one who holds everything. "The Lord has given me the strongest warning to not think like everybody else does. He said, 'Don't call everything a conspiracy like they do. And don't live in dread of what frightens them. Make the Lord of heaven's armies holy in your life. He is the one you should fear. He is the one who should make you tremble. He will keep you safe.'" If we trust in the Lord, we don't have to fear anything else. If we fear God, I don't need to fear anybody else. If I care more about what God thinks in my life than anybody else, I'm on a good road. Right? When we fear the Lord, I don't need to fear anything else. Meaning, I respect God. Meaning, I care what He wants for my life. Meaning, I read His Word and get into His Word so I can hear from my commander-in-chief to know what my battle plans are for the day. If we do that, we don't need to fear anything else. If you're overcome by fear in your life, I want to encourage you, call out to God. A mark of a soldier is courage. But you know what? It's not just beat yourself up because you don't have courage. It's this: call out to God and He will give you courage. It's not courage because of how good you are. It's courage because of who He is. That's good. That's good. Thank the Lord that He gives us courage to live for Him. Last thing, the last mark is sacrifice. The last mark today is sacrifice. You understand, a soldier is willing to lay down their lives. If you're not a soldier willing to sacrifice, you're really no soldier at all, are you? You have to be willing to sacrifice. You get saved, you begin to serve. Then you're willing to sacrifice is stage 3. Look at verse 29 and 30. "For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for Him. We are in this struggle together. You have seen my struggle in the past, and you know that I am still in the midst of it." Did you get that? You've been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but the privilege of suffering for Him. The privilege of suffering for Him. See, here's the deal. There will be casualties. There will be casualties. There will be those who are the walking wounded in our military. Those who need to get picked up. Those who need to be saved. But there will also be believers who die in the midst of a battle. And they go home to be with the Lord. That they literally die. People who struggle to share their faith. They struggle to live for Jesus, and there will come a point where they will go home. For some, today around the world, it's more of a literal sacrificial spirit. Because people will say, "It's illegal to be a Christian. You're a Christian. We will persecute you. You will rot in jail. Stop proclaiming Christ." And their response to that is, "I must share Christ. I must share Christ." And they share and they suffer for Him. If you speak to somebody in the military, and if they speak of those who have died, How do we treat those whose names are on the wall? Vietnam Memorial, let's say. World War II Memorial. How are those names treated? Anybody? With respect and honor, right? You would never see somebody desecrate the Vietnam Memorial. And if they did, they wouldn't get very far before they'd be regretting it. Am I right? Tell me you would not see veterans grab hold and show that boy some respect. Am I right? Why? Because they're heroes. Because they're heroes. We're fighting a real battle, but we also have real heroes of the faith. We have those who have come before us, who fought and gave their lives and sacrificed for Jesus. They're heroes, just like the names on the wall at the memorial. They're heroes. Their names might not be there. Perhaps they're written on the walls of our heart. Those of the faith who we remember, who we say, so-and-so's in heaven now, I know it. Thank God for what they did in my life. Thank God that they served and they've changed my life. Anybody today, you just want to share quickly a hero of yours in the faith? Someone who has moved on? Anybody?
I had a friend who was my crutch, my right hand, my buddy in Christ. And he passed away from cancer. And every day, before he went to work, he was in his Bible. He was constantly.
Yeah.
Go to work an hour before just so he can have the peace of the Lord.
Wow.
In his Bible before he went into work and had to face the things that he had to face.
Yeah.
Before he went home, he would be in the Bible.
Yeah.
This man was a man of God.
That's good. And what was his name?
His name was Richard Capaferri.
Richard Capaferri.
He even took money out of his own, and he didn't make very much money, but he bought Bibles for the church. Just so they can give them out so people will get the word.
Praise the Lord. He's a hero of the faith. He's a hero. Anyone else today? Someone who was a hero in your life?
My mother-in-law had a half-sister. And she was a missionary down in Brazil. I don't know whether she's dead or alive. We couldn't get in touch with her. But they were, a lot of them were killed down there. About the time that she was down there, so we never heard.
Wow.
But she was a missionary for years and years.
And she was a hero to you.
Yeah.
Of the faith. Anybody else? Yes, Ann?
You know her, Teresa Rose.
Yes.
She was a woman of faith who was just a wonderful woman and loved God so much.
Yeah.
And would do anything for anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, her name is on the Hall of Fame Memorial, certainly. I think of a man who, when I was a young boy, he was a pastor. He went through a lot. He actually had one arm. He lost his arm in a construction accident when he was a young man, 20s or so. And at this point, when I knew him, he was probably in his 60s. And he was a minister, and he actually would go and minister at the Buena Vista campground. He would go and hold services every Sunday and share with the campers Christ. And I went with him a few times and actually sang, stood up and sang an a cappella song. Probably was Amazing Grace, actually. And I was like 8 years old or something. He was just a soldier for Christ. He was just a soldier for the Lord. He just lived for God. He sacrificed, but he lived. He lived with honor and integrity, as your heroes did. He lived with courage. Heaven was a key for him. It was so real. And he lived with unity in the body of Christ. He wasn't all about himself. It was about serving for Christ. See, here's the deal. Jesus gave up so much for us, didn't he? He was willing to sacrifice so much. His sacrifice, along with the sacrifice of many men and women who we know in the faith, even children with cancer who God has called home, who could just look at you with the faith of Christ in their eyes. Even the young kids can just make us say, oh, if I could have the faith that you have. You ever see a young kid who was so strong? Right? That doesn't have anything to do with age, does it? Four marks of the soldiers of heaven, again, integrity, unity, courage, and sacrifice. Paul calls us to these things today. Here's the deal with sacrifice. Your commander-in-chief will not abandon you in your time of struggle. When you're going through a hard time, our commander-in-chief is there with us. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. He is there. And He will help you. After that passage of the devil prowling around looking for someone to destroy, in 1 Peter 5:9, directly after that, the next verse says, stand firm against him. Be strong in your faith. Remember, your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. In His kindness, God called you to share in His eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, He will restore you, support you, strengthen you, and place you on a firm foundation. That our struggles in this world are only temporary. And He will be with us as we suffer. He will be with us. He will never leave us. But one day, the Bible says He will wipe every tear from our eye. We will be with Him, and oh, the day that we hear this, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. If we're serious about living for Christ, we need to be serious about sacrificially living for Christ. In closing, we need to apply this to our lives. Are you a soldier, number one? Are you a real soldier of Christ? Are you a citizen of heaven? If you're not a citizen of heaven, as we began with, this doesn't really mean anything to you. Have you received Christ as your Savior? Have you asked Him to come into your heart and to forgive you? If we're playing games, you cannot be a soldier for heaven if you're not a citizen for heaven. Just like you cannot be a soldier for the United States military if you're not a citizen of the United States. You need to be a citizen first. You call out to Jesus. He will forgive you. He will come in. Your heart. You A, admit you're a believer. B, you believe in His death and resurrection as payment for your sin. And C, you commit your service to Him and repent of your sins. You say, God, I will live for You and I'll stop fooling around with that sin. The second way we can apply this to our life is this. Does your service for the Lord display these four marks? As we examine our lives, you're in a real battle. If you're here and you're a Christian, you're serving in our military. You're serving as a soldier of heaven. How are you doing with these four marks? Believe it or not, this isn't just on the military of heaven. I preached on the seven values of the U.S. military about a year and a half ago. That message is on our website as well. The U.S. military holds their soldiers to high integrity, courage, sacrifice, loyalty. As a good soldier, how are you in the area of integrity? How's your life? When people look at you on a Tuesday afternoon, are you flying the banner of heaven? Or are you an undercover spy waving the banner of the devil? When people see you, do they know what side you're fighting for? The Bible calls us to wave the flag of heaven. Number two, unity. That we're together side by side. Are you together side by side? Do you really care about those who are around you? Do you care if somebody across this aisle here is under attack of the enemy? Do you care enough to pray? I want to encourage you, if you don't, ask the Lord to help you to be unified with the church. We need to be strong. The devil wants to pick off the stragglers. Don't be a straggler. The third thing, courage. If you're overcome by fear, remember God's in control. Ask Him. He will help you. He will give you courage. And you know what else? We have courage as we're in numbers, don't we? As we come unified, we get courage, right? Isn't it true? That's another reason why our midweek service is so important, if you can make it. Because we come together and we regroup and we look at the Word and we pray for each other and we just have fun. But we leave encouraged. Encouraged gives us courage, right? Encouragement gives us courage. Last thing, sacrifice. Are you someone who has a spirit of bitterness and complaining, and anytime anything ever goes bad, God, why did you let this happen to me? Or do we say, Lord, I ask you to take this away, but as Paul, if the Lord wants us to go through a trial, we go with His grace and we accept it. You understand, if we're mad at God every time something happens, we're not going to grow in Him. Sometimes the Lord has to take us through something, right? In order to make us different. He doesn't want you to be the same next week as you are today. He wants you to grow. That requires sacrifice. Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing? We don't pray for bad stuff. But when it happens, I want to ask the Lord to help me through it instead of being mad at Him. As if He owes me an explanation. He's God. He doesn't owe me anything. I owe my life to Him. Amen. The Lord is good.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and cry out to Him and let's commit our lives to Him. If you failed in any of these areas, if you haven't been living up, now's the time. Don't be intimidated by the enemy. Live above reproach. Be unified with your brothers and sisters. If the time of sacrifice comes, we go with the power of Christ and know that He'll walk with us no matter what. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love You today. Lord, today we commit ourselves to You afresh and anew. We ask, Lord, that You would help us, God, to apply this to our lives. Hallelujah. Thank You for making us people of the Word who are changed by Your Word. As Your Bible says, Lord, we won't just listen to Your teaching, but we will obey You. We will allow it to change our hearts. Be with us in Christ's name. Amen.